want to extend Christian blessing or greetings to each one here this morning. Count it a privilege to be here to worship with you again after I think it's been about 2 years. Bring greetings from our congregation in Stettler, Alberta. We enjoyed our travels here and seeing the beautiful scenery and many things. And we look forward to coming and to meeting our new grandson, first grandchild. So it was exciting. And it's a blessing to see, be reminded of God's goodness when we see these little miracles and how they're so perfect. But we don't want them to just stay there. We're looking forward to them growing and to see what God has for their future someday. Also, we left pretty chilly Alberta. We talked Celsius at home, so it was like minus almost 30 wind chill. So we were looking forward to coming to some New Mexico sunshine. And we were enjoying spending time outdoors, enjoying the warmth of the sun. It was nice. But you know what's more wonderful this morning? It doesn't matter if we come from North Carolina, Wyoming, Missouri, Alberta, wherever we've gathered together. I look forward to the warmth of Christian fellowship that we can enjoy. We serve a common God, one who is interested in each one of us. And we have I look forward to the time when we can fellowship together and be encouraged from each other. I spent time praying, asking God what he'd have for me to share this morning. And I felt he has led me to share something I shared recently in our home congregation. And you know, we come to church and we wonder sometimes, is God, can you reveal if this is for sure what you want me to share? But I'm amazed time and again, person gets up to have devotions and it just fits right in with what God has led me to speak on this morning. And then I felt that this morning, and I was just blessed by the devotional thoughts this morning taken from 1 Peter there. And it has to do with what I felt led to speak on this morning. And some of the things that stood out to me in that devotional is the being sober and watch into prayer. And it says in verse 8, above all things, put on fervent charity, have fervent charity among yourselves. You know, the New Testament talks a lot about having love for one another. And that is the cord that binds us close to each other. I also had to think this time of the year, God has so generous. He has given us the best that heaven had. Jesus didn't just stay in the cradle. I'm thankful for that this morning. There is a much greater message. Luke 2, verse 11. May that be our focus this morning as we think of what God has sent for us. We'll just read Luke 2, verse 11. It says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You know, when we think of what God sent for mankind, a Savior, that's our focus, should be our focus. The wonderful provision made for you and for me. God was so generous in giving his only begotten Son to save a world from sin. Then I had to think of what Christ fulfilled that promise by coming and being willing to face the ridicule and the hard things of life and complete the work on the cross and being and thankful this morning that he is a risen Savior. He had finished the work that God had sent him to do. And he is the example that he left us is should make us so grateful this morning for what he has done for us. God was generous in sending his son. Christ was generous in being willing to give his life for our sins. May we be thankful for that this morning. The message title this morning is Kingdom-Focused Generosity. And I've taken the text from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 15. This passage really has inspired me in what we are called to do in church life and in our walk, that short time on earth that God has called us to be workers in his kingdom. I'd like to just read verses 1 to 15 in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we do wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches at Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction in the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we'd hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun to so, he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time of your abundance may be a supply for your want, for their want, and their abundance may also be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that hath gathered little had no lack." Paul is commending them here for their faithfulness in their generosity. In giving, these people well understood the blessings of what Christ meant to them. Generosity, this means the quality of being kind, being willing to share, being generous with what God, the gifts God has given to us. These Macedonian church here were examples of being just that. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus is the prime example or the greatest example of generosity. Is where he has left us how to conduct our walk of life in sharing with others. Jesus walked day after day. He was always in the busy helping people in need, healing, feeding, nurturing. He was also faithful in addressing the needs that were around him. Jesus also clearly taught the only way to be his disciples was to forsake all. and to follow him. He helped man to see that the only possible way to live life and find the true fulfillment in life was living for him and his cause. And that is where we find true generosity comes from. Jesus' generosity will never be matched. We know that. By his willingness to give his life and shed his blood, he was the spotless lamb. To save all of us from sin. And you know, when we think of that and comprehend that, shouldn't that inspire us to in turn be generous back to his work and to each other? It is for his cause. Generosity this morning is much more than the giving of money or things, although that has a part in it. God has blessed us with many things, and we are accountable to how we use them. The first point this morning that has stood out to me in this passage here I'd like to look at is kingdom-focused generosity. We must have a love for Christ. This love, what really stood out to me in this passage is that it says that these brethren, it wasn't a life of ease. It talks about almost the opposite. It says that even though they were facing great trial of affliction, and they still joyfully gave whatever they could for God's work. It says, how the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And then verse 3, it says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing to give themselves. And you know, God does amazing things in some of the hardest of times when we are surrendered to him. We might not feel like we have much to give, but give what you can. God doesn't expect us to give something we don't have, but give what you can. Let God give the increase. These people understood God's grace and his love for them. This awakened in them a longing to contribute to the work of the church and the needs around them. These people were poor. But it mentions also that in this great trial of affliction, even though they didn't have much, they were still in the side heading of beside that verse, it talks about lavish generosity. They could still give lavishly. And that really stood out to me. Are we doing that this morning? You know, the moment we hold things back out of any kind of selfish reason, we forfeit the blessing of God's work and forfeit a blessing for ourselves in just being willing to give and the blessing of others. Generosity is a manifestation of God's grace working within each one of us as we find our place where God has called us. Generosity is also not something that is sporadic or undisciplined or carelessly done. It's should be thought out, planned, intentional, done with understanding and purpose. We're sensitive to the needs around us, it being ready to share and help where we can. The second point I have is the joyful giving, joyful generosity. Be joyful in it. Even though we're facing trials and affliction, you know, some of these times we can feel kind of bogged down. But God has still made a way where we can be joyful in this. These people did. And it was a great blessing to Paul and his work, even in how he's seen their faithfulness even in the hard times and their willingness to just step right up to the plate and do what they could. God sees and understands our poverty and trials. And when we work together and share what we can with joy, God is faithful to bless those bless those sacrifices of love. It says also that they're in verse 2 that their abundance of joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. When God's love and joy compels us to generosity, God will bless those efforts and his work will go forward. This kind of generosity is also contagious. It works. It helps those who may be going through a difficult time and are trying to understand some of these things. But when we walk alongside them and do what we can, it motivates and compels them to be faithful and to pitch in where they can. It makes them want to be generous too. May we never let the difficulties and trials and poverty dampen our enthusiasm to be generous. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says, every man according as he hath purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Be cheerful, even in the hard times. When we see God in all things, we can be cheerful. Matthew 6 tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When we are joyful in our walk with God and are generous with what God has blessed us with and using it for what God has intended, we can find rest and satisfaction, fulfillment in that. The third point I have is it takes faith to be generous. Faith in Christ motivates those who believe in him to have a faith to be generous when we recognize needs, even when we feel like we do not have much to share or give. God, in verse 3, God was able to do abundantly more than they had power to do because of their lavish generosity. I believe that when we share in whatever way we can, in spite of not feeling like we have much to share, but when it is done in the spirit of faith and meekness and joy and love, God increases that act of generosity. Generosity compelled by faith in Christ reflects the love of Christ and the believer's commitment to sharing their blessings with others. Generosity also highlights the importance of the grace, where giving is not a duty, but a gift from God. the importance of generosity when we live out generosity, it demonstrates one's love for God and also love and care for one another. This kind of generosity is willing to give and step up, even to give lavishly, even though we don't expect anything in return. It's willing to step up and to, we don't do this generosity to make a name or to get noticed. No, it's the opposite of that. We do it because we care for one another, and we care that each other excels in God's work. Kingdom-focused generosity, when exercised, is the most fulfilling and rich in blessing, because it is Christ-focused and not carnal or selfish in any way. We hinder the work of generosity when we have any kind of a carnal or selfish motive in our heart. That needs to be dealt with before we can be effective. The fourth point I have is, it talks about in verse 4, praying with us with much entreaty that we'd receive the gift. Prayer is essential in generosity. Paul sensed their generosity in this way, in understanding and recognizing, I believe they understood and recognized that Paul's work that he had to do, I believe he felt maybe overloaded at times. And I think this is such an important part of the church moving forward and Christ's work moving forward, is spend much time in prayer. Be generous in prayer for one another, for your leaders. The devil hates when he sees this kind of strength in church life. He does whatever he can to make inroads to disturb that giving and that liberal generosity in Christ's work. Let's not let him have an inroad. It starts right in our own hearts. The people prayed that they would and could continue to support the work of the church. They cared deeply about the work, the church, and the gospel message moving going forward. They cared about their leaders and the work that God had entrusted them with and helping meet their needs as well. This kind of generosity does not keep track of whether or not others are keeping up with us. Rather, we do what we can to inspire each other in this work. Have you pondered how your acts of generosity, when motivated by a love for what Christ has done for you in your heart, how that can impact those around you, someone else's life? Is your life, love for Christ and generosity, contagious? It should be. It should inspire others to be. Through our willingness to give and support others, we not only demonstrate our faith in action, but also contribute to building a more caring and compassionate community. We become instruments of positivity and hope in Christ to a world that craves kindness and compassion and love. I think of that even at this time of the year. There's many lonely souls out there who crave this kind of thing that we enjoy. Sometimes we take it for granted. May we be grateful each day. You know, if we live out this generosity day after day and show this kind of love and compassion and care for one another, there wouldn't be relationship problems. There wouldn't be church strife. Because we care about one another, we appreciate one another so much. I feel for those who sort of are on the outskirts, are holding back something because maybe they have something that is bothering them, that they don't, they can't find that closeness and that blessing that comes from just being a part of it and being willing to just be surrendered. I think if we feel that way, let's be honest with ourselves and let find our way back to be repent if we need to repent of something and find our way back to experience the blessing and be a part of that generous community. We are called, in Galatians 6, it says, as we have therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith. This is a call to be generous to one another. You know, generosity, this generosity is willing to step in when we see a struggling or erring brother. And we're willing to carry the burden with them and to walk alongside with them. Be that support to bring them back and to help them find their way. Don't give up. Fifth point I have is generosity takes a heart of commitment to the work of Christ in the church. These people here were committed to this work. They knew it was a work that was fulfilling and it was a worthwhile work, and they committed it, their lives to this work. The more we are committed in our generosity to give, the more God will enable us to give. These people also, I believe, understood and were committed to generosity because they knew and understood what Christ meant to them in their daily walk. They were grateful. They understood that only true fulfillment comes from serving and giving of themselves to the church and to the work of Christ's kingdom. Paul was deeply inspired by this and blessed to see this generosity and support even when these poor people did not have much. This kind of commitment and generosity builds spiritual perspective and character. It shows spiritual maturity. Sixth point I have is generosity comes with a vision. And I see that here. These people had a vision for that the work of God moved forward. And they had a vision because they prayed for Paul and those who were traveling and sharing the word. And I believe these people were very active in sharing the gospel message to the lost about them. This is a vision of what God wants for the church, adding souls and saving souls for his kingdom. This inspires generosity because we understand the value of one soul, just as God does. Generosity inspires a believer to faithfulness, knowing that we have a heavenly goal someday And that same vision of heaven should and will motivate those who are serving Christ to want to help others to glory. Do we care enough for each other that we're willing to go through the hard and difficult times, the trials, together, because we care so deeply that we want to see everyone, not one lost, make it to that that final goal? That's our goal. That's our vision. Faithfulness to the end. That's showing true love when we're willing to go through the hardest of times. It's not running away from them. Seventh point I see here that it brings out in verse 12. And that is, it takes a willing mind to be generous. It says, for there first be a willing mind is accepted according to the man hath, and not according to the he hath not. We must be disciplined in our walk and devotion to Christ. A consciousness of what Christ has done for us will help us and compel us to be conscious about the needs of those around us and to be willing to give. It helps to keep our focus where it should be. Give all to your ability. A willing and a disciplined mind will be honest in their hearts toward others. Verse 13 and 14 talk about they will not be selective in who or what needs they help with. Those who are generous with a willing mind are not only thanking God that their own needs were supplied, but also glorifying God because of his grace at work in the lives of the givers. Giving generously can be a joyful experience, even when we feel poor. Remember, God often does great things in the times of difficulty, but it's how we look at that difficulty and how God can move forward and do miraculous things. Giving increases affection one for another. This kind of generosity is a way to relay to one another that we deeply care for each other and even to the world around us. That is one thing that I just find such a blessing in church life, is the affection and care that I feel for my fellow brothers and sisters, and it's just beautiful. Kingdom-focused generosity does not overlook sin. Rather, it exposes it and deals with it. And yet, in love, it brings back and desires to restore and lead to repentance and restoration. This generosity does not leave people wondering where they stand. I believe there's when we're honest and open with each other and with God, that we can know where we stand. And let's be open to each other's input into our lives so that we can experience the true blessings of this generosity. In conclusion, 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2 says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not with the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God has drawn us. He wants to draw us close to Himself. And when we have a generous spirit and a love for one another, that will lead us to a close relationship to one another, but also to a closer relationship with God when we are open. Kingdom-focused generosity is not measured by the size of gift, but rather by the size of our surrender. God loves a surrendered giver. Let the gratitude of God's grace motivate your generosity. Remember, Christ was willing to become poor, like it says in verse 9, I believe. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. What a blessing. That we can experience and taste the richness of his generosity that he extended to us. I'd like to read Romans 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We are called to be a living sacrifice. May our lives be holy, acceptable to God. It says, which is a reasonable service. God is not asking more of you than you can do. God is just asking you to be surrendered and to give what you to your best of your ability. Be the strength and be the faithful one who is willing to take up the hard works at times and share your generosity in whatever way you can. Be a blessing to those, because we do care, and that each one makes it on to glory. May God add his blessing as we serve him. May we be faithful in what he has called us to do. Shall we kneel for prayer?